Blog Talk Radio. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and we have a very special guest today. Her name is Jane Bertrand, and she's going to be sharing her experiences with taking on a major challenge in her 60s. She decided she was going to do what's called high pointing, which is reaching the highest point in all 50 states. She made it to 46. She's also author of the book, You Started What After 60? High Pointing Across America. Currently at age 70, she's a professor at the Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in New Orleans with a specialization in international family planning. Welcome to the show, Jane. How are you today?
Mari, good morning.
So let's tell us first, what inspired you to set a challenge? Why was a challenge necessary in your life at that time?
I reached age 60, and my family has this tradition of, well, for the big birthdays, you have to do something really special. I'd done the same when I was 50, and we'd done a triathlon, and I decided, 60, I needed to find something that would keep me interested and keep me motivated beyond just what I did at my work, which actually I love my job, but I needed something that went a little beyond the job.
Okay, good. So why in the world would you choose to climb to the highest point in every state?
Great question. I had been living in Louisiana for 30 years by that point. And if you know Louisiana, there are no mountains. The highest point is 535 feet. And
right.
I had always loved hiking, but had not really been an expert or a fanatic about it. There were a couple of other reasons. I was sitting there in Louisiana thinking, I have all these friends, family that I've known for many years, and I was looking for a way that I could reach out and reconnect with some of those. Another reason was that on my job, I do travel extensively. I work, go five times a year to sub-Saharan Africa, and I've had a chance to travel quite a bit in the developing world, but I knew practically nothing west of the Mississippi in our own country. So there was a bit of that as well. And if I have to answer if I have to fess up, I have this husband who specializes in going on his own adventures. He thinks nothing of flying to Patagonia in Argentina to go fishing or flying to Manitoba to hunt Canadian geese. So why was I going to stay at home? I needed to find something that I was going to enjoy doing too.
That's right. The girl's got to get in on it also. Love it. Love it, Jane. So tell us some of what happened when you began to do this high pointing.
Well, I made one strategic mistake, which was I started with the easy ones, and that meant that I started very slowly, so that by age 65, I had only done 11 of the total of 50, and I needed to pick up my game, and what's more, I'd done the easy ones. So as I found myself by age 66, yes, I started doing quite a few more, but it was almost like a staircase of difficulty of mountains, and by 67, I was doing the hard one, 68, the very hard, and by 69, I did my last super hard as far as I was going to be able to go. And then at that point I said, you know, there are still four left, but that's going to have to be for another life because I am not going to, it just wasn't in the cards at that point.
Right. I still think it's an amazing thing when you say you started with the easy ones. The easy ones are way more than your average person would do anyway. So I think it's fantastic and marvelous.
May I correct you? There's a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is the easiest. 10 is Denali in Alaska, which people die on Denali regularly.
Right.
20, okay. 21, a fifth of the high points in the United States are actually drive up. So, and then another 7 or 8 are quick walks. So we do not be thinking of this towering mountain in every state. And that was one of the big surprises for me, that a lot of this, the first half of it was much more motor tourism. Now, there's some pretty rural, remote places that you end up driving to. But the real hiking begins when, you know, the most challenging begins when you get out to the West Coast and you've got the Rockies. And I had originally gone into this saying, I am not climbing any mountain that requires technical climbing. I do not want to do the helmets, the rope, the ice axe, that whole thing. And as I got into it, that good competitive gene just kicked in. So I figured I'd probably get to about 40. And when I got to 40, it was more like, well, I could probably do 40, the 41st one. Once I got to 41, well, if I did 41, why couldn't I do 42? So that was how I ended up nudging myself up toward the final 46.
And you ended up using the technical equipment after all. You got that
I
far.
Did, in three of these mountains, I mean, if you ask me, did I enjoy technical climbing, the answer is it was not for me in my late 60s, but there was just this, it was the only way to take on three of the mountains out west. And I, by then, did hire professional guides who will put you through the paces and keep you safe. But that was that was not the high point. That was not the I did it because it had to be done, not because it was so enjoyable to be up there roped up in this stuff.
Yeah, that sounds super scary to me. So, of all the different places that you hiked to, do you have a favorite? Did you have one that spoke to you the most?
That's such a tough question. I should mention that in doing this, I ended up recruiting 63 people to do this with me. Those people ranged in age from 4 months to 71 years. And so it wasn't just, what was the experience of climbing Mountain X? It was so much the experience of who did you do it with, and what were the dynamics of that. I would say 7 or 8 of these hikes were characterized by someone who was really pushing themselves beyond what was their comfort level. I mean, my husband, who did a relatively easy one, but he did it, you know, within 2 years of double knee replacement surgery. And a good friend in Louisiana who, when my mountain buddy had to drop out, I ended up asking this friend of mine in Louisiana to go climb Mount Whitney, the highest point in the continental United States, on 6 weeks' notice. And we did not make that one. I went back and made Whitney. But just the what that says about a friendship of somebody who is willing to take on what can only be described as an absolutely grueling 17-hour ordeal in the name of friendship. And yeah, wouldn't it be fun to try to climb this mountain?
Wow, so those are good friends. Very nice. So the experiences are what you remember the most, is what you're saying.
You remember the bad times. You remember what went wrong. For example, on the second time when I went up Mount Whitney with a guide, and I was, again, this was all tethered up in this, in the technical equipment and all. We made it by the skin of our teeth and through. It was a female guide, and she was amazing in terms of getting me up the side of this mountain. When we came back that night to the campsite, it was already pretty biting cold, and we got there to find out that my tent had blown away. So there are those experiences like that where you... She turned to me and she said, Jane, have you ever slept under the stars? And so there was that. There was constantly getting lost. I have an abnormally bad sense of direction. There was finding myself alone climbing up a mountain in Montana with no bear spray and looking at all the signs around that said, you know, be bear aware. You remember some of the exhilarating points, but I'd say you remember it was the those little challenges along the way, being in your car and you lost all GPS connectivity. Those were the experiences that really made you look back on and you say, oh, thank God. Thank God all's well that ends well.
Oh, absolutely. You are a very brave woman, that much I could say. The bear signs alone would send me running in the other direction. So tell us a little bit about what role authenticity played in this for you, Jane.
Sure. One of the things that became crystal clear to me over this decade of doing this was I came to value two traits. One were experiences, and the other was connections. And by experiences, it was this going and discovering new places or taking on this new technical climbing experience that I'd never had before. And I think that's the more obvious one. But the second was this idea of connections. Seeking out these people, there was a wide range of people. I climbed with my colleague here at Tulane on four of the high points. She's a huge mountaineer. And we see each other daily. That was one extreme. To someone else who I had not seen for 40 years when we climbed in out Arizona. To someone who I met on the day of the climb because I needed someone to help me out and I was able through friends of a friend to find someone. And what struck me about these were it wasn't just time spent together, but it was this idea of having a shared purpose. All these people knew I was obsessed with being able to reach the high point. And by joining up with me, they too joined in this trying to do everything possible, despite all these obstacles, despite having the GPS that went out and the bears and everything else. And it was that degree of shared purpose, as I mentioned earlier, people doing this, they wanted to be part of this even when they were in physical discomfort or when we ended the day in total exhaustion. And that kind of social bonding connection, that is one of the things that will stay with me from this experience.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds beautiful. I mean, I can understand that it's, you know, I love that you're not saying it was all roses and butterflies and rainbows. you're telling me how it is, and that's important because, you know, there was a lot of pain or discomfort or whatever involved, but at the same time, there's so much that you glean from it, and those are things that you will never forget. You'll have those for the rest of your life. What would you say to someone who's 60 or older, and they're feeling they need a challenge in their life?
I would recommend for them to figure out something that would be particularly meaningful to their own circumstances and feasible. I was someone with a job that generated an enormous number of frequent flyer miles, and I had the privilege of being able to fly to different parts of the country. But there are a lot of challenges that one can undertake, never leaving one's own city, I think, and that's just setting your stake on what could you do that when you hit your 70th birthday, which I just did a couple of weeks ago, you're going to look back on it and say, you know, I really did make something of that decade of being 60.
Mm-hmm.
But I people listening to this show, people that have read the book, this is not about getting in your car and starting out to find the 46 high points in the United States. It's really about figuring out what would make a difference in your own life and within your own circumstances.
Right. That's great. I love that. So what is the main message that you want to bring to the public? Is that the main message?
I think there are a couple. One is, and for someone who's competitive like I am and who has to reach the goal, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that success was much more the journey and not where you actually ended up. As I said, I started out, I knew I wasn't going to make 50, but the idea of pushing as far as I could, and then one of the things people have actually commented to me on it was they like the fact that in the book I recognize that although I would have loved to have done 50, that it was hugely satisfying to get as far as I could and in my case, as far as I could, was 46. And then it was time to stop. I did not need to put myself in danger. I did not need to put others in danger of trying to push beyond that. So I think that was one of the main, one of my main, what I learned from the experience.
Mm-hmm. And 46 is pretty darn close to 50. You did an amazing, amazing job. And it's, well, and I think it's wonderful. Go ahead.
There's an annual convention. I have not mentioned the High Pointers Convention. This is, and there's a club for this. I knew none of this when I started out, but there's a High Pointers Club. There's an annual convention. Mm-hmm. There's a website. And when you go to the convention, they put your name, your state, and a number underneath your name. And that number is from 1 to 50, which means how many high points have you completed. So this is, you wear it as the badge of honor in that particular group.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And if you want to call in with any questions for Jane, you can call in at 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869, and we'll be right back.
Some of us are not so lucky, some very lucky. I researched and wrote the book, The Careless Driver, so that we as a nation could become lucky motorists. Motorists that don't hit animals, pedestrians, or other vehicles, ever. If there were no collisions, there would be no fatalities, no deaths on our highways and roadways. Please listen. You are invited.
Hello, it's Doc Indy here, your conscious life coach for women. As women, we're always taking care of everyone else, oftentimes to our own neglect. But I'm here to help you change that. I want you to go to mindfulhealthforwomen.com, that's with the number 4, so that you can book your free 30-minute coaching session, and we'll begin to address your mental, physical, and spiritual health. I look forward to speaking with you.
Well, we're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Amari Mitchell, and we have special guest Jane Bertrand, who talks about, who's talking about her experiences with in her 60s, starting a challenge of reaching the highest point in all 50 states. She made it to 46. And we have a caller. Let's see who's on the line. Hello, you're on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Who are we speaking with? Hello? Can you hear me? You're on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I guess they don't want to talk now. They've been on all along, so they may be listening to the show through that line. So let's talk about your book a little bit, Jane. I love the title. You started what after 60? High Pointing Across America. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book and what, you know, what the, what people are saying about it.
Thanks. Maybe I'll even start with the title. As I hope you picked up, it has a double meaning. One is, okay, you started what after 60? People have never heard of high pointing. Most of the people that I recruited to go with me had never heard of high pointing. And the second meaning is, of course, are you out of your mind to have started high pointing at 60? So I have gotten some good feedback on that. I wrote this book. I actually didn't start it until I had done the first 20 or so of these high points. And as I went along and I was recruiting more and more people for this, I was so appreciative for their taking the time, being willing to drive to these remote places. And I wanted to thank them for doing this. And one way of doing so was to capture our experience, our stories, and put them in the form of a book so that the book itself, after there's the introduction, why the heck did I do this, then chronicles what happens in each one of the states that we visit, including the states where we do not successfully high point the first time. And you will find that chapter later on where I've had to go back and do that, actually go back to the place a second time to try to make it. In high pointing, you have to make it to the absolute top. Close enough is, you know, close is not good enough. So I decided that I wanted to, I'd write a lot on the job, mostly academic articles, scientific reports. So I hadn't done anything that was really for a general audience, but I enjoyed writing. And I started putting this together. I would it was much more difficult to go back and do the 20 that I had not previously written, not because I had not had a journal with it. But I had some pretty vivid memories from some of those climbs. Once I then realized I was going to write the book, then I started writing each section as I got over it. And one of the things that I found was it was far more easy to write the article, I mean the section, if something had gone wrong. And since that happened fairly frequently, yes, I did get lost on Rogers Mountain in Virginia, and we did drive ourselves in circles in Michigan on the Michigan logging rolls, no signage, no GPS, just trying to find the elusive Mount Arvon, which once you found it was literally 25-yard walk from the parking lot to the summit, but just the impossibility of these back roads. So it was far more easy to write these when things were going badly than when everything was just going very smoothly. But one of the nice things about the book is that I have these 50 adults who accompanied me on this who actually are in the book, see themselves in the book, and thus are my most avid reading audience because they were part of it. And to a person, they tell me, Jane, I opened the book and I went straight for the chapter where we climbed together. Then I went back and read the rest of it. But I've gotten very positive reactions. Of course, these are my friends, so that's somewhat of a biased sample. But there are two comments that people will make. One is, congratulations both on climbing all those mountains and also writing the book. So there was that kind of double congratulations. And two was this idea of, you've really given me something to think about. What am I going to do in my 60s? And I hope that that is a effect of the book on a lot of people that read it. I've appreciated the reviewers. I've had several reviewers, and I've appreciated the ones that have said, ostensibly this book is about hiking, but in fact the real message is figure out something that is going to keep you motivated, you're going to find rewarding, it's going to help you stay connected with people, and follow that challenge because it makes life a lot more meaningful.
Yeah, I love it. I think, was that the message you started? Was that the real message that you had when you wrote the book? Was that the message within your heart, or did you want it more as, you know, the details of all the hikes and the people?
Fortunately, there are 8 other books that have been written about memoirs, of all of them by guys, all of them who started in the prime of their life. So I started the thinking, there needs to be some female literature on the topic of high pointing. And because I'd read others, I knew what was interesting, what I found interesting. And yes, you did want to know how the person reached the top of the mountain and what, you know, they went on such and such a trail and blah, blah, blah. But what was really interesting to me was what was happening in the person's life at the same time as they were then going off and doing these different high points. And I realized from that's what I wanted my book to do. So for the different groups of people, the different individuals who joined me, each of these sections starts off on who this person is and how I knew them, what they did in their real life when they weren't out high pointing. And so each one becomes a little story of my relationship to this person and then what happens when we actually get on the trail.
Very nice. Well, you know what? We have a couple of callers. One keeps popping in and out, but I'm going to give this other caller a chance just in case they are calling in to talk to you. Hello, you're on JW Authentic Radio. Who's speaking? Hello? Guess not. That's the same person who's been on for a while. Okay, I just want to make sure I gave them a chance in case they had a question for you. Okay, wonderful. So let's talk about how we get a hold of you and your book for those who want to get a copy of it.
Thank you so much. It is on the usual Amazon.com. It's available both as a paperback and as a Kindle book. It's also available through Barnes & Noble, as well as Apple Books, in ebook format on Apple. Again, the name of it is
Awesome.
You Started What After 60, High Pointing Across America. Then I also have a website, an author website, which is easy to remember because it's my name, www.janebertrand.com. And it gives a little bit more of the background of the book. It shows some photos. It is a blog there of what some of the backstory is on the book.
Okay, great. And it's Jane Bertrand, JaneBertrand.com, so you can get a hold of that. Wonderful. So of all of the – how many years did you spend doing the hiking, Jane?
So I started at 60, and I finished 4 months short of my 70th birthday. And so it was just a decade. As I mentioned, I got off to a lackluster start, and by age 65, I'd only done 11. I'd all done all the easy ones. And so the book recounts how I really then had to go into high gear to make up for lost time and to prepare for what was going to be the far more difficult ones as I got toward 68, 69.
Right.
And let me just add that on my 70th birthday, for my 70th birthday, I invited all 63 people to a book launch in New Orleans. 37 of them came, and we had an amazing reunion of lots of storytelling of what had happened. And to me, what was so special about that was all these people who individually meant so much to me had the opportunity to meet each other. They had the book
right.
a month in advance and were able to, many had read about each other and then met them in person.
Wow, what a beautiful party that was. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Okay, well, we're winding down the last few minutes of the show. Is there something that you'd like to say to a listener, something that's on your heart as we close off?
What would that be? I just feel very privileged to have had the opportunity to do this. As I mentioned, the fact that I did have frequent flyer miles from my job, the fact that I do have friends who were fit and who were willing to come out and be part of this. So I would only add that I hope that your readers take the challenge and find what that is going to be in their own situation that is going to allow them, when they are 70, to look back and said, you know, this was one of the best decades of my life.
That's right. I love that. And I love that you say whatever will make them happy, because we're all different. We all have different things that we enjoy most, and we don't have to copy anybody else. And that's part of being authentic. You know, you're telling people, be authentic, do what makes you happy. Don't try and copy what made me happy.
Or exactly.
What was a good challenge for me. So that's fantastic, Jane. Really nice. Any last thing you'd like to finish up with?
Only thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share what was the high point of my life, was going out and doing this high pointing and to spread the word. I think one of the things about high pointing is that it is a great pastime because you don't have to do all 50, and it really does get you out, get you off your devices, off your couch, and out there in the great outdoors.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful. I'm seeing some beautiful sights and scenery as well. So thank you so much. I had never heard of high pointing before I spoke to you. Thanks so much for being on the show, and thank you all for listening in, and catch us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Don't forget to go to JaneBertrand.com and check out her book and check out all her things. Thanks so much for being on the show, Jane.
Thank you, Mari.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.